The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
I'm excited about this series. I think, you know, we talk a lot about stuff in church, and sometimes it's just stuff. Sometimes it's just chit-chat. This series is not chit-chat. This series is in your face, here's your life, here's God's word, what are you going to do about the difference? I'm going to make no apologies for the fact that your sandals may be a little tighter when you walk out of here today. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, that I don't feel sorry for you if the messages are a little uncomfortable for you on Sunday morning, because I've had to live in this message for an entire week. You know, you guys have to listen to it for about 45 minutes on Sunday morning. I have to live with it all week. It's constantly churning in my heart and getting stuff ready. So, it trust me, all of this stuff gets filtered through my big melon before it ever gets to you. And God has to work in me before I can give it to you. So, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, kind of a little bit of a recap of what Jeremiah talked about last week. And the message for today is, don't hide your happiness. That doesn't make sense. Don't hide your happiness. Well, a lot of us do. And so, we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's pray. God, I pray that you'll open our hearts this morning because you're going to do great things in us today. Lord, we're going to be confronted. We're going to be blessed. We're going to be, we're just going to have it, God. So bless us now. Open our hearts to hear what you have to say. We ask it in your name. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, I will tell you right now, I grew up in church. And in my head, I don't hear blessed. I hear blessed. Because that's always the way they said it. Blessed are the meek. Okay? The problem is, that's the only place we ever say blessed. Nobody ever says, "I woke up this morning late, and so my hair is messed up because I didn't have time to get dressed." We don't do that. But for some reason, when we say blessed, it's blessed. Yea, verily, blessed are those who are meek. Okay, that's not me. So blessed. But every now and then I'm going to slip today. I guarantee you it's going to happen. So when I do, just say, he's been around for a long time. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I saw a bumper sticker one time said, "The meek don't want it." Anyway, okay. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Not because of you, because of me. All right? If you're just a nasty person, people say all kinds of bad things about you, that's your own fault. Okay, that's you're not blessed there. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. All of these verses come together to tell us that this is Christ is saying, this is the way you got to live. You're going to call yourself a Christian, which, by the way, means Christ-like. Like Christ. You're going to call yourself a Christian. This is the way you live. You want to say you're one of Jesus' followers, this is what it means. This is a cost of admission. This is the lifestyle you've got to adopt. It's tough. Anybody here meet all these criteria? No. No. I don't. And I doubt, if you do, maybe you're better off than me, but I think we all fall short somewhere here. But here's what he's saying. He said, look, because everywhere he says blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Everywhere he's saying, look, here's how I want you to live, and here's the blessing that comes with it. Here's how you're supposed to do things, and here's how I'll reward you when you do it. Understand that it's a cause and effect in our lives. When we do godly things God's way, God blesses us. The reason a lot of us have lives that are kind of barren and we fall short in places is because we're not doing God's things God's way. You want to do things your own way, you're going to have trouble. I'm a football coach. I love football. When I draw up a play, I know what I want each player to do individually. Now, if he doesn't do his part, if this guy is supposed to be over here and block this guy, and he doesn't do it, not only is he penalized, but everybody around us is. It may break down the whole play. And I'll be honest with you, I've coached kids that I had to hide on the field. They'd be out there in front of everybody, but I had to put them in places, in certain plays, where I wasn't really depending on them to do anything. Because quite frankly, that's what they would do, nothing. They would just kind of mill around like cattle. Looking for the next piece of grass that it could eat or something. God doesn't want us to live that kind of life. Because let me tell you something. Those kids that I have to program that way for, they don't touch the ball. They don't hear the roar of the crowd. They don't get to score touchdowns. I'm hiding them so they don't hurt themselves or anybody else. I want them to play. I want them to get better. I'll work on them with that. But I'm not going to sacrifice an entire team because one kid won't do what he's supposed to do. Make sense? So I hide him on the field. He's on the field, he's playing, and every now and then I get lucky and they actually do something nice. But more often than not, somebody else is going to be close to him to take care of him. God doesn't want us to live that way. God says, look, here's your job, here's the way I want you to live, here are the blessings that come with it. Let me let you hear the roar of the crowd. We need to hear the roar of heaven every time we do something great for God. The problem is we don't do it often enough. And Jesus is saying, this is how it works. God doesn't want you to live a defeated, just going through the motions existence. He wants you to live a life of victory. He wants you to live a life where you hear heaven applaud. It was Max Lucado that wrote a book a few years ago called The Applause of Heaven. How every time we do something great, God and the angels just go crazy for us. I blew up my knee playing football my freshman year of high school and wasn't able to play ever again on a competitive level. And when our sons rolled up to play football, I wanted them to play football. That's what Dad did. They wanted them to play football. And Lynette said, but you tore up your knee. You got hurt playing football. Why would you want them to do that? And I just looked at her like she was from another world. What's wrong with you? Because obviously you've never heard the roar of the crowd. Once you hear the roar of the crowd, it's addicting. You want to hear it again. You line up on the field and you blow some guy up and you do a great play. You hear the crowd go, ah. You walk back to the huddle, just a little bit taller. And yeah, you're hurt, but it's a good hurt now because you did something good. Look, that's the life God wants us to feel. And that's the life that's available to us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, the word blessing here, well, let's go. The first thing you need to know is that God promises you true happiness and then some. We talk about being happy all the time. But we're not truly happy. In fact, one of the ways to talk about this maybe is to talk about joy. Happy is fleeting. Okay, the way most of us define the word happy, it goes away. I'm happy. I hit myself with a hammer. I'm not happy anymore. No, I'm unhappy. I may have said words I'm not supposed to say. I know none of you would ever do that, but I have on occasion said not Jesus' words. So, Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount by saying this. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Now, and it keeps going on. Blessed, 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 blessed. Well, the word blessed really isn't a good translation, but it's as close as English has. The Hebrew word there is is makarios. Now, I'm not a big Greek word there. I'm not a big Greek guy. I don't talk all the time about the Greek, but this is important for us because blessed is the closest we get, but some translations of the Bible call this happy. Happy are those who are poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Really? You ever been to a funeral, see somebody laugh next to the casket? No, that's not good. That'll get you kicked out. You go to a funeral and start laughing, that'll get you kicked out. Happier the meek. Well, the word really kind of means congratulations. So it really might say this, congratulations, poor of spirit. Way to go, you who mourn. Good for you, people who are meek. Kind of, we try to sum it up in one word, but the Greek is really expressive. So go back and read that whole passage again. Congratulations, poor in spirit, because this is what's going to happen to you. Good job. Now we talk about these. Now think about all of these things we talked about. Now, the reason the word is makarios is because it came from an island. Hey, makarios, which is not the... Hey, makarios. Okay, that's not the same thing, but it sounds like it. It was literally called the Happy Island because it had everything. It was rich. It was beautiful. It was fertile. You didn't have to go beyond its coastline to find complete happiness. And so makarios literally meant to go to this island, and it literally meant to go to a place where you have everything and you want for nothing, and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. So think about it in terms of that now when he says, happy or blessed are the poor in spirit. Hey, when you're poor in spirit, you've got everything you need for a happy life. You've got everything you need for a complete life. Now, does that open that up a little bit? It's more than just blessed or blessed. It's more than just happy. It's this idea of total contentment. That's the kind of life that God offers. It's the kind of life that says, you know, hey, how could this get any better? Blessed are the poor in spirit. How could your life get any better because of the blessings God gives you if you're poor in spirit? So as we go through this list of things, I want you to think about it in those terms. Congratulations, way to go. Hey, you're doing a good job. Because that's literally what this means. Now, second thing you need to see is that happiness comes in unexpected ways. We think of happiness, somebody gives us a dollar, we're happy. Unless it's your payday and that's all they gave you, then you're not so happy. Somebody gives you money, you're, hey, I'm happy. Somebody gives you a donut, hey, I'm happy. It's not a jelly filled. Well, I'm not quite as happy, but I'm still happy. But happiness comes in some unexpected ways. Now, the world tells you that happiness comes in different ways. The world will tell you that there are other ways to be happy. In fact, here's what the world would say. Blessed are the self-made men, for they're the master of their dreams, or the master of their destinies. Blessed are those who never mourn, for their life will be a bed of roses. Blessed are the aggressive, for they'll get whatever they want. Blessed are those who make up their own rules. They'll answer no one but themselves. Blessed are those who show no mercy, for their enemies will fear them. Blessed are those with hearts of stone, for they'll never be hurt. Blessed are those who win the battle, for their enemies will become their slaves. Blessed are those who compromise their convictions, because they'll never offend anyone. Blessed are those who are recognized for their greatness and elevated to the status of celebrity, for they'll be worshipped by many. But I don't know if you were paying attention, but if you put that list against the list that Jesus gave us, it's not quite the same thing, is it? See, we're all looking for short-term happiness, and Jesus is saying, there is so much more here. There's so much more available. Look, don't settle for the short-term happiness the world promises you but doesn't deliver on, by the way. Don't settle for something short-term when God has something beautiful that's long-term. Just this week, we saw obviously the funeral for Michael Jackson. We saw Steve McNair, Tennessee Titans quarterback, who had everything. Beautiful wife, great kids, stepping out on his wife. She ended up killing him and then killing herself. Why? Because he bought into the idea that there's always something more. There's always more happiness, more joy, more things I can get. And the problem is he's fishing in an empty pond. There's no joy there. There's no happiness. There's only struggle. There's only pain. There's only sorrow. So Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Well, and Jeremiah did a great job talking about this last week, about the poor in spirit. Literally means that you realize you're spiritually bankrupt. This is not proud, is it? This is not us going to God and saying, hey, God, you're lucky I'm here. Hey, God, how you doing, boy? No, this is us going to God and saying, God, I don't know why you want me, but I'm just thankful you do. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The next thing he says is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And going back to what we said, this is happier the sad. Well, that doesn't make sense. Happier the sad. Sounds like a contradiction. But see, when we recognize that we don't have anything without God, we mourn for that, and it opens up our heart to want Him more. That opens the doors to be happy. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for God can use sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. We will never regret that kind of sorrow. It's our sorrow of our sin that drives us to God. It's when we recognize that we're spiritually bankrupt. We've got nothing else to offer. And we realize we're at the end of our rope. That's where God kicks in. When we realize we can't save ourselves, that's when God saves us. When we realize that there's nothing about us that's worthwhile, that's when God saves us. Barry McGuire had a song called Walk the Mile, and he sang the song. He said, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she, but oh, the things I learned with her when sorrow walked with me. That's powerful. We've got to be doing God's things God's way. And it's not going to be because He's good to have us. It's going to be because we're sorrow. Because we understand that we've got to just be empty for God to fill us up. Then He says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jeremiah pointed out last week that the meek, the word meek here is also a term they use for horses that they rode in battle. Huge, strong horses. Kind of like today's Clydesdales. I love it. Unfortunately, it's always a beer commercial, but I love the Budweiser commercials, those Clydesdales running in the snow. Huge, massive animals. It's just gorgeous to watch them run. You think about that horse, that huge horse, all the thousands or pounds or so that weigh, what, probably 2,000, 2,500 pounds, those things. It's like a small car. And yet, it's controlled by a little tiny piece of metal in its mouth. Some guy, 98-pound weakling, is riding on the back, controlling this massive animal, not because the horse is afraid of the man. He's not afraid of the man. He can take care of that man's business. Did you see this week in the running of the bulls, by the way, the guy in Pamplona got killed by one of the bulls? You got to know when that bull made it back to the paddock, all the other bulls are high-fiving him. Way to go, babe. These massive animals controlled by just a little piece of metal, by a little man. Because it's power under control. Aristotle described meekness as the balance between two extremes. Now I want you to listen to this. Here's what Aristotle said. When you're meek, a meek person is a person who's angry at the right time, but never angry at the wrong time. A person who pushes forward when he needs to push forward and pulls back when he needs to pull back. But like the trained horse, the person doesn't do it on his own. The horse has a rider, we have God. How do we know when to push forward and pull back? We listen to God. How do we know when to be angry and when to not be angry? We listen to God. How do we know when it's time to do something and not do something? We listen to God. The Bible is full of examples of people who did this. Moses, Joshua, David, Deborah, Ruth, Mary, Jesus, Paul the Apostle. They had strong personalities, but they used those personalities for God. You read the list of people in the Bible, Joshua, David, King David, Ruth, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Jesus himself, Paul. These are not wimpy guys. And yet they're all meek because they're strong, but they let God guide their steps. That's the true definition of meekness, is letting God guide your steps. Strong at the right time, weak at the right time. Powerful, submissive. It's all those things working together. So when Jesus said, blessed are the meek, it literally means blessed are those who don't let their power go to their head, but instead surrender it to God for Him to use as He sees fit. Look, we've all had bosses who are on power trips. We've all had bosses who did it, and when you said anything about it, they said, because I said so. Heck, I've had parents like that. I've been a parent like that. Well, I did, because I said so. Because I'm bigger, I'm meaner, and I'm better looking. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. That's not the godly answer. The godly answer is, I'm going to serve you. And if I every now and then I got to tune you up a little bit, I can do that too, but I'll do it in a godly way. That's meekness. Meekness is not being a 98-pound weakling. Well, whatever you think. No, that's not meekness. I don't know what that is, but it ain't God. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This is actually one of my favorite Beatitudes because it sounds like food. It's got hunger in it and thirst, and you get filled. That's good in my book. The Greek word for hunger is literally the word they use for a starving man. When we think of hungry, we think of, I haven't eaten in 3 hours. It's time for lunch. This is more like, I haven't eaten for a week and a half. If you leave your finger in one place long enough, I'll gnaw it to the bone. That's that kind of hunger. Blessed are those people who are just drop-dead starving for God. When's the last time you were just starving for God? Unfortunately, usually it's because you got a problem. Usually we get starving for God when we recognize the fact that, well, quite frankly, we've messed up. We're far from God, and now we recognize our hunger for God. How much stronger Christian you would be if every morning you woke up and the first thought in your mind was, man, I got to get more of God today. And you spent your day trying to get closer to God. How much greater a Christian would you be? How much more could you do for God if you didn't just save that for when you're really in trouble? By the way, the word fulfilled means gorged. Blessed are those who are just drop dead hungry for God, for they will eat until they can't eat anymore. And they'll come back in a little while and eat again. My wife and her friend Kelly used to talk about, well, do you want to have dessert? Well, let's wait. We have to let our stomachs rest. I don't know what the rest time is, but every now and then they say, well, let's have dessert. Well, I guess their stomachs were rested. So blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, because they will just be filled, and after their stomachs rest, they can go back and eat again. John Panette, one of my favorite comedians, big guy. He's the one who said, yeah, they kicked him out of the Chinese buffet. You go now! You've been here 4 hours! No more buffet for you, go! But he talks about how, you know, that's, you go to a Chinese buffet and you go from just, oh, I'm full. Hey, they got egg rolls. I mean, you know, there's this weird hunger all of a sudden after you eat Chinese food. That's the way it ought to be for us with God. Oh man, I'm just so full of God. Hey, here's another thing I could do for Him. That's what we've got to have. Probably one of the few times John Panette has ever been used in a message in church. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You want to be more than happy? Be willing to give other people a break. Hello? Be willing to give other people the benefit of the doubt. We're not always good at this. Look, even if you're right and they're wrong. Can you take the high road? Yeah. Blessed are the merciful. Not, well, you know, you were wrong, and out of the magnanimousness of my heart, because I'm such a great Christian, I will forgive you. No. You start making a show of it like that, you've lost any blessing you're going to get. See, and we do it for little things, don't we? Somebody bumps us in the elevator and they say, oh, I'm sorry. Say, hey, don't worry about it. We do it for little things like that, won't we? I mean, really, does anybody, and there are a few guys, they usually end up in my jail. The ones who, when they get bumped, those are the guys that are punks, and they're going to end up in jail. So if we can do it for little things, how come we can't do it for big things? If we can do it when somebody accidentally bumps us, we say, hey, don't worry about it. What about if somebody lies about us? How come now that's too much harder to do? How come now that's impossible to forgive? You know why? Because we don't think that God's that big. Because God, there's not enough of God in us for Him to be that big. It's up to us to be that big. It's up to us to let God be that big. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Let me tell you something. I mess up enough that I need God's mercy. I need God to show me mercy, so I've got to be merciful to other people. Try and reset that, will you? I'm sorry about the air conditioner, guys. We're going to have to, but we've talked to the school district this week. We're going to have to talk to them again. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The Greek word here is katharos. I went to the wrong place. The Greek word is katharos, where we get the word cathartic or catheter. If you've ever had a catheter, you know what it is. And you'll never want one ever again. Okay? And for those of you who don't know, it's the catheter they use to help you go to the bathroom when you're in the hospital. Not a fun experience. Something happened. Yeah. Or maybe it's just my imagination. The word katharos means to cleanse or purge or purify. So look at it again. Blessed are the purged in heart. Blessed are those who have been purified in their heart. Blessed are those who have been cleansed or purged, for they will see God. Look at this. The pure in heart, the word they use here isn't for the people who have always been pure in heart, because that lets all of us out. Anybody here never had an impure thought? Anybody here never thought anything bad? Don't raise your hand, because we will call witnesses. See, if this verse meant blessed are those who have never done anything wrong, we're all toast. But what he's saying is here is blessed are those people who have messed up and by God's grace have been cleaned up. Blessed are those who are dirty and now are clean, for they will see God. Your heart may have been filled with hatred and bitterness and selfishness. Let's stop for a second. Your heart may be filled with that now. You may be dealing with an issue right now. See, I love the fact that here at Remnant, I can't get up here on Sunday morning and know that everybody here has given their life to Christ. In fact, I'm happy that that's not the case. Because you're here, and I want that to be the case next time you're here. But I love the fact that there are people here who are on a journey who are just kind of learning what it means to be a Christian. There are going to be people who listen to this message on the internet who are not a Christian at all and are just starting that whole process, and they're looking for help, and we're able to send them to the website, and they start downloading this stuff and they listen to it. Let me tell you something. Your heart may be filled with hatred right now. You may be bitter against somebody. You may be full of sin and your heart is just dark. Let me tell you something. Jesus is in the cleansing business. Jesus died so that your heart could be made clean, so that bitterness would go away, that hatred would fall away, that hurt could be healed. That's why Jesus came. It can be made pure. Happiness doesn't come from being a jaded, self-serving cynic. It comes from having a clean heart. When your heart is pure, you're going to see God. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the sons of God. Look, I've been in the ministry for a long time. Long time. Almost 30 years now. A long time. Every church I've ever served in, except this one, and I don't think that's necessarily the case here. If it is, I just haven't known it yet. I've had people who just kind of thrived on chaos. If they could do something to make somebody unhappy, it made them feel a little better about themselves. Now, these are people who call themselves Christians but clearly aren't. I'll be honest with you. Okay? They're just not. If you like making other people upset and you like trying to express power over the people and show who's the boss, you're not a Christian. Hello? Because you're everything Jesus wasn't. I've had people who were just ornery. And you know what they all had in common? No matter which church it was, no matter what background they came from, the one thing they all had in common was they were not happy with anything. They hated everything and everybody. They walked around, they looked like they were just soaked in pickle juice all night. And you could see them during worship. Oh, it's so funny. You stand on the platform leading worship, and we'd be singing, you know, God is so good, God is so good. And they're saying, God is so good. You liar. You don't believe that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. They're like, the joy of the Lord. And they look like somebody stepped on their toes. They're not happy with anything. And so they take that unhappiness out on everybody around them. And you tell them after church, you know, hey, what a great time of worship we had today. Yeah, well, the music was too loud, Pastor. Okay. We had a great time of communion one time. I'll never forget this. Great time of communion. And this is the first church I ever pastored as a senior pastor. I'd been a youth pastor for a while, but finally was a senior pastor. And we had changed the communion little bread things to a loaf of bread. This beautiful, fresh-baked bread. We passed it around, and this little elderly saint of God, bless her heart, I'm standing there talking to a first-time visitor. Guy isn't a Christian yet, but he's on his way. She comes up, and the reason I'll never forget is because of the white glove. She wore white gloves. She had two, not like Michael Jackson. She had two. And she came up, and she's talking to me like this, and she comes up right in my face and says, you know, Pastor, you're pressing that bread around, people are coughing in their hands and stuff, and she just, and the whole time, you're doing exactly the same thing. Here I am talking to somebody, and she's so unhappy about the bread that she decides that right now her little thing about the bread is more important than the fact that this guy is on his way to meet Christ. To go from being somebody who's destined for hell to somebody who's got to be destined for heaven. And she's more concerned about the fact that somebody coughed in their hand and ate some bread. And my first reaction was in my head, and this is the things that don't come out because they're scary. Lady, the bread is for healing. If somebody had a cold, I think God will take care of you. Just unhappy about things. Now, I will tell you that she didn't come to that church for very long because she didn't like me. And when she left, I said, oh, that's too bad. Hallelujah. Finish the work
you have started in me. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.